Well, thank you, and welcome once again to the radio broadcast of the Independence Baptist Church. We're glad you're listening, and it is our prayer that God would richly bless you and with understanding as we bring the precious Word of God to you. We would like to invite you to come to the services at the Independence Baptist Church. We meet at 124 South Main in the city of Forestdale. We have our Sunday school beginning this morning at 10 o'clock, and then our morning worship at 11 o'clock. And then tonight's services begin at 4 o'clock with our prayer service, and then 4:30 for our evening worship. And then Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. is our midweek Bible study. So we invite you to come to all of these services. We invite you also to look on the internet for our church's website. There's lots of articles there that explain the things that we believe and preach and practice at the Independence Baptist Church. That website address is www.independencebaptist.org. That's independencebaptist.org. That's all one word. I know that if you'll go to that internet site, you'll find a lot of information there concerning our church. And I know it'll be a blessing to you. The past few Sunday mornings, we've been preaching concerning the fact that Jesus Christ organized his kind of church during his own personal ministry, that is, before the day of Pentecost. We've given you reasons why the Bible states that Jesus organized his church before the day of Pentecost. We've talked about how that the Jews did not believe Jesus Christ. They rejected him. They also reject the believers that were following Jesus Christ. We have spent a good deal of time going through all of those. And if you would like to review those messages, the audio files are on the church's website. And so you're welcome to go there and listen to those. Or if you prefer that we send you a CD of those messages, if you will contact us at the church, I'll be glad to see that you get those. You can call the church's number and just say, I want the CDs of the radio broadcast, and I'll send those to you. Be sure and leave an address there so we can send it to you. The church's phone number is 636-673-2180. I'll be glad to get those to you. But think about this. If the church did not start on the day of Pentecost, then what is the day of Pentecost for? I think that's something to think about. If the church did not start on the day of Pentecost, as many people claim, then what in the world is the day of Pentecost all about? If you'll read the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, the Bible states this, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." Now, who's that? Who is it that is in one accord in one place? Now, that's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting." And understand, they were sitting. They were not up running around. They were not shouting. They were doing nothing of the sort. They were simply sitting. And the Bible says in verse 3, "And there appeared unto them," that is, unto the church, "it appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." The Bible does not record anywhere that on the day of Pentecost the church is organized. I know that is taught many, many places, but the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says that what happened on the day of Pentecost was that the church that Jesus organized was baptized with his Spirit. That is, filled with his Spirit, and they had the power of God upon them. This is not a new thing with the Lord. I mean, it may be with us, but it's not a new thing with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ had already given the Holy Spirit to his church before his ascension, and on the day of Pentecost, we find that there's a manifestation of the power of God that is with his congregation. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, reveals to all of the unbelieving Jews that God has transferred the oracles of God from the Jewish nation to the church Jesus Christ established during his own personal ministry. Now, what does it mean when we say that God has transferred the oracles of God from the Jews to the Gentile church? What does that mean? The oracles of God is the divine relationship between God and his people. But you see, as we preached last Sunday morning, the nation of Israel had rebelled against Jesus Christ time and time and time again. This was no surprise to Jesus Christ. He knew that when he came down to this earth. Jesus is God. And the nation of Israel had rebelled against God many, many times, and for many, many years. If you go back and you look at the history recorded for us in the Old Testament, you'll find that many, many times there were prophets of God that were sent to the nation of Israel, but the nation would not listen to them. They would not heed the warnings, and the people of Israel went away from God. And so it was no surprise to God. And when Jesus Christ came down to this earth and was born in the manger, it was a fact that he knew that the nation of Israel would not accept him. Jesus is God, and he knows everything there is to know. And it was no surprise to him. When Jesus Christ began his earthly ministry, one of the first things he did was to gather together a people after his own name that would follow him. And this is his church. You see, the oracles of God is God's authority that is exercised on the earth by a people chosen of God. Think of this passage, if you would. The book of 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 and 2 makes this statement. And what we're talking about here is how that the oracles of God, or that is that relationship that God has with a chosen people, has been transferred from the nation of Israel to his church. And that is what happened on the day of Pentecost. Notice this proof. The book of 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 and 2 states, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." Now listen in verse 2. "That you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior." Peter is coming down to the end of his life, and he desires that the people of God, the church of God that he's preaching to, that they be strong and steadfast in the things of God. And he says this. He said, "This second epistle, beloved, I'm writing this to you because I want to stir you up. I want you to understand the importance of what I'm telling you." He said in verse 2, "I want you to be mindful of the words that are spoken in the Old Testament." When he uses the words here, spoken before by the holy prophets, he's talking about the Old Testament. It's important today that we understand the Old Testament. I know there are some folks that have thrown the Old Testament out the door, and they say, "Oh, that's Old Testament. That's no good. That's just trash. Just throw it away. We don't need that anymore." Well, that's not what Peter said. Peter said, "I want you to be mindful of the Old Testament." And then he said this, "I want you to also be mindful of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior." What Peter is saying here is that the written word that was given in the Bible, the Old Testament, was approved by the nation of Israel, who had that oracle of God, and they had the relationship with God, and God used them to write down the Old Testament. But that was transferred in the New Testament. And in the New Testament, it is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that decides what Scripture is going to be put in the New Testament. That's what that's talking about. And so you see, what happened on the day of Pentecost is that there was a transfer of the oracles of God from the nation of Israel to the church that Jesus had already established during his own personal ministry. Now, as I said before, this is no surprise to God. It's no surprise to Jesus Christ. They know what they're doing. Let me read you a few scriptures And I know that I'm not going to get all this in this morning, so we're going to continue this, I know, next Sunday. But just listen to what this says. In the book of John chapter 7, verse 37 through 39, Jesus Christ declares that the receiving of the Holy Spirit of God by the church is future. Now read this verse. John chapter 7, verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Verse 39 is a parenthetical expression. "But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Notice in this passage that Jesus Christ had just proclaimed in the previous verses concerning his crucifixion and resurrection. But the Jews that Jesus was talking to did not understand what he was saying, and they questioned among themselves. Therefore, Jesus, on the last day of the feast, gave the prophecy of verse 37 and 38. The explanation of the prophecy is given in verse 39. Now, that's in John chapter 7, verse 37, 38, and 39. So, it is in this passage that we see that there's going to be a special manifestation of the power of God given to His local church. Men, Jesus says, will be able by the power of God to so preach the gospel that many will be saved. The reference in John chapter 7, verse 37 through 39, is the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost manifestation comes upon the church that Jesus had already established before Pentecost, and they began to be witnesses to all the world starting at Jerusalem, just exactly as Christ stated in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. In verse 39, Jesus Christ explains that after he is glorified, that is, after Jesus is resurrected, the Holy Spirit, who, according to John chapter 14, verse 26, is the Comforter, will be given. Think of those things. Well, I see that my time has slipped away from me once again this morning. We have just begun to scratch the surface on what the day of Pentecost was really all about. But remember this. Jesus Christ organized his church during his own personal ministry. He did that because the Jews would reject him. He knew that it was so. Jesus Christ called out this special people to follow him and be obedient unto him. And these people is the assembly, or that is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have given you one scripture stating the fact that the receiving of the Holy Spirit was future. Next Sunday, the Lord willing, we want to continue in this thought, showing how that Jesus is proclaiming when the other Comforter would come. In the meantime, I want to remind you that if you would like a CD of these messages, if you will contact us at the church, I'll be glad to send those to you. The number there is 636-673-2180. I'd also remind you that these messages will be on our church's website under the audio files, and you're welcome to go there and download those and listen to those. If you have questions, I'll be glad to answer those if I can at all. The address of our website is www.independencebaptist.org. I know there's a lot of information there that I know that you will enjoy. Well, I do want to invite you to come to the services at the Independence Baptist Church. Remember our times, Sunday school at 10 o'clock, and then our morning worship at 11, and then our evening services begin at 4 with our prayer service and 4:30 for our evening worship. And then Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. is our midweek Bible study. Thank you now for listening. God bless you. Have a great day.